9:45. Are we ready with the student presentation, Rachel? Are we? We are. Okay. So we'll move ahead, please, with item number 922.
Screening of student films from the Media Institute for Social Change Summer Program.
Well, good morning and welcome. We're going to have a presentation here of student films. I'm not sure who's kicking it off. So come on up and let us know about your project, and we're looking forward to seeing your work.
Good morning, council members.
Good morning.
My name is Pilar Curtis. I'm from Arlington, Virginia, and will be a senior this fall at Virginia Commonwealth University. This past April, I applied to the Media Institute for Social Change. As an aspiring journalist, I wanted to become a better storyteller. But the skill set I'll be leaving Portland with goes beyond storytelling. The 12 students in the summer program are passionate about social justice, and the Media Institute has given us the opportunity to make a social impact through our documentary films. We're screening two this morning, but all six documentaries are screening tonight at the Shout House in Southeast Portland. The films cover a wide range of topics. One focuses on Portland's first female black cop. Another addresses income inequality as it follows a traveling jukebox. I'm proud of the work my peers and I have produced because each story is thought-provoking. Filmmakers who focus on issues of social justice can be changemakers. I don't think we're so different from lawmakers. You are elected to create laws that improve the lives of Portlanders. We want to create change as well, but through a different medium. I hope our documentaries on Portland-related issues will spark a conversation about the soul of the city and raise awareness about the needs of its people. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
And my name is Dylan Walker. I am from a small town in southern Missouri, but I go to college at St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota. I'm a junior there, majoring in classics with concentrations in film studies and women's and gender studies. And I, along with Pilar Curtis, directed Please Play Me, the film you are about to see. On one level, Please Play Me tells the story of piano push play and the pianos that it puts around Portland every summer. But on a deeper level, it also tells a story of the importance of arts access to Portlanders. Now, before we were making this film, I couldn't help but wonder how putting a piano on a street corner could cause social change. But then Pilar and I went to the streets. We spent hours talking to pianists. We talked to everyone from the founder of Piano Push Play herself to Commissioner Fish. And through all these interviews, we learned just how much arts access means to Portlanders. And we hope that you remember this as you watch our film and also have a greater appreciation for the pianos in your backyard.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for meeting with us. My name is Trisha Patterson. I go to Western Washington University, but I'm from Camas, Washington. My film is on the Daya Foundation, which is an adaptive yoga program in Southwest Portland. And my film partner, Rashad Salah, followed this man named Arion Moore. He has a condition called scleroderma, and it's a very serious degenerative disease. And the story, Arion's story, is important to tell because it speaks to the strength and the perseverance that Arion has. And maybe through telling his story, we can inspire others who have this type of condition or similar conditions to keep fighting and keep seeking help. And I think the film really speaks for itself, but I just thought I would preface it a little bit.
Great. Thank you all for introducing these films. And I think Carlos got them queued up so we can all watch them.
I don't have to press it right here?
Okay, you do, apparently.
Awesome.
Okay, there we go.
It's probably a good thing I'm not healthy, because if I go back on the court, it's going to be bad for everybody.
like you get back and...
Oh, I just dominate on the court.
I grew up in East Palo Alto, California, which is a pretty rough neighborhood, but I was very grounded by my grandmother, so she didn't let me get in trouble. She was very strict. I was a pretty good student, straight A's. I did all the nerd stuff, they would have called it. Played sports a lot. Basketball became my main focus, and math. I loved math at the time, and then transferred to Southern Oregon University. Some gymnasiums, the fans would call me Snoop Dogg because he's tall and skinny and I would wear braids. So every time we played University of Oregon, And every time I touched the ball, the crowd would raise their arms and say, Snoop. And then whether I passed or shot it, they'd say, Dog. A year after college, I got diagnosed with an autoimmune disease called scleroderma. Sclero means hardening and tightening. Derma means skin. So they call it that because that's when you recognize, that's when you can see something's wrong. Scleroderma is usually middle-aged women's disease is what they used to call it, but you're rare if you're male, you're rare if you're in your early 20s, which I was, and then if you're African-American or East Indian, those are like your higher mortality rates. And so, as in hockey, it was the hat trick. The disease progressed to where I'm 6'6", and I dropped to 120 pounds. Had acid reflux, which makes it hard to eat. Vitiligo, which is pigment loss. And you can see with my hands, so the skin was tightening so much, they were balling into a fist. I remember, the first symptoms was I couldn't palm a basketball anymore. I couldn't hold a cup of coffee. My friends were calling me a ventriloquist. I was like this, couldn't move. And I can't raise my arms because the shoulders got too tight. Can't straighten my arms because they got too tight. In 2012, I had a stem cell transplant. Now, a lot of patients have lung and heart, so they get better. But my problems was the joints had already contracted so bad, a lot of ligament, scar tissue, and tendon damage, which is not autoimmune, of course, so they can't reverse that. 2 days later, Thanksgiving morning, that's when I first noticed my skin started loosening. And I was like, oh, snap, I can move my wrist. In June, I found the Daya Foundation and wheelchair-based yoga, since I can't stand up or get to the ground easily. And they've been very accommodating. They have someone set aside to help me with a lot of the poses because, as you see with my limitations, I still can't do some of the basics alone. They extended a scholarship, so that was great. They have a normal exercise. One of us will come up with an idea of how I can still get that same stretch. They'll just adapt to my limitations and range of motion.
I know that he is a very hard working man and very dedicated to trying to better his situation, that he's got such an amazing spirit.
I reach out to people in the community and just say, hey, this is my story. I was here, I was an athlete, got a degree in criminology, was working in the field, and then I ended up in this situation. Now I'm trying to get back. No doctor can really tell me what to do because they've never seen it. I'm one of those people that you tell me something that as long as it's not a super high, risk of death or injury, I'm in it. I'll try a lot of things. I can't foresee the future because I don't know what it is, but I do know I'll be back working. Every 6 or 7 months, I need less help doing a lot of things. Every day I'm thinking about what I'm going to do next as far as a year or two from now, like when I'm going to get back to work. My whole 90% of the day, I'm just thinking about getting better and getting back to work. The biggest thing with a disease that can disable you is being active. And the people around you don't even want to be around. They don't want to see no one deteriorating and not trying to get better.
Everyone, he is involved. He has that community of support. And so maybe when some of his friends and associates see the benefits that he's been able to derive from coming here, that maybe more people will come.
I get to the point where maybe I can shoot free throws from a weird angle, but can still go out and play.
Hear it for this great work.
This is Please Play Me.
I started tuning for Piano Push Play, I think, if I remember right, would have been about 4 years ago. And at the time, there were only three pianos, and I was only responsible for tuning one of them, and now there's 20 of them.
Play is a project where I rescue pianos and I put them out on the street for anybody to play. The only time you really see classical music or lots of keyboard piano music is in a concert hall or in a recital hall or in a piano store, and I just wanted to bring that music to the street.
I was stumbling along and I saw these beautiful pianos in strange places, and the sign said, go ahead and sit down and play. And I thought, wonderful, you know, since I can't carry one in my back pocket and I couldn't afford one. It was nice to see them out and about, the pianos.
I think it's really important for people to have access because, like I've seen time and time again, there's so many more people out there that find something through playing this, you know, and it's not just people that are trained classically. There's all kinds of people that sit down and really gracefully just play around, you know, and are obviously getting something from creating music with this instrument. Music is something that kind of really taps into a release for people, I think.
Oh, I think music is so important in your life. It just brings so much joy. It's a calmer, and it's a form of creativity, and it just, it's wonderful.
I think art and culture is part of our soul. I think it's part of what makes Portland special, and it's the reason why I think we have to always do more and not take it for granted. So if we believe that art is for the people, and if what we want to do is democratize the arts, then we have to make sure that there are a few barriers to experiencing art and culture.
I'd feel sad if I didn't have these pianos to play. You know? They mean an awful lot to me. I call them my girls.
This is, I think, about the third or fourth time this one in particular has gotten tuned, because it gets used for so many different performances. Start in late June, go to late August. It's about 2 months.
So when the summer is over, a lot of the times People have reached out to me throughout the summer once, you know, they've seen all these pianos, and a lot of them wonder, where do they go? And they go to a big variety of places.
So when I started at ADX, Megan and Piano Push Play were already had a piano in the space. And so I met Megan, and she would come in and help the piano tune, and we would have people come in off the streets and play the piano. Music provides access to music to people who otherwise might not have access to those types of equipment. The heart of ADX was to provide access to tools that people couldn't otherwise afford. Megan's done that with music through her piano, so it was a very, it made sense as a synergy.
Pianos take a lot of effort to maintain, and they're complicated instruments to build, and they're not cheap, they're not easy to move, and so a lot of people don't have access to pianos. And some of those people are people who play very well and don't have the resources to have a piano in their own personal life. And not only that, having a piano in the park brings a lot of people together who otherwise might not interact.
I think what the pianos around Portland do is they raise our spirits. And I hope the idea takes off, because who would have thunk it? You just put a piano in a public space and all this magic happens organically.
I think all the aspects that make this project work are in every city. I know that there are kids that play piano in every city. There's artists everywhere. So, you know, I think this project could easily happen anywhere.
Thank you very much for bringing this to us today. So there's 6 films in particular about Portland in the project. They're all being shown at a screening tonight, right?
Tonight at 7:30 at the Shout House in Southeast Portland.
So I want to make a request, Commissioner Fish, if we could do this, and that is, I can't be there tonight, but I'd like to see the other 4 as well. Could we schedule one of those for each city council meeting over the next few weeks, or otherwise bring them back here as well as get them out in the community? Because these two, if they're wonderful, and I'd love to see the rest. So if
wonderful.
We could enlighten this chamber with the rest of them, that would be a good thing.
I'm sure we could, but a lot of the students are going back to wherever they came from.
We definitely can.
Okay.
we'll figure it out. Them. It's just they won't
but
be.
My point is not just that I want to indulge us, but I'd love to see a lot of, I'd love to have a lot of people in Portland see them, because those two are wonderful.
Sure,
Great work.
Mayor, we'll work on that with the organization. And can I just clarify something? These are works of art. They're made by you, and there's a host organization. Do we have permission to put them on our website so that people can view them?
Work on that, too.
Bill says yes.
Thank you.
We'll give appropriate credit, of course, but it's great work. And film really can move hearts and minds and tell stories, and obviously you're learning how to do that extremely well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Let's hear it again for these students. Good work. Okay, we're going to have trouble equaling that in future council meetings. That's great work.